Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Labyrinth in the News for Thursday, December 17th. I'm your host, Christiana, coming to you live from the Couve. That's Vancouver, Washington, across the river from Portland, Oregon, as I will be doing most Mondays at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Today was a little unusual. My computer had some technical difficulties, and we had to reschedule. Thank you so much for joining us this early, early morning time. My lead-in music is the first cut off of Susan Alexander's CD, Sequentia, called Icos, which is short for icosahedron, the water symbol in sacred geometry. Sequentia is music using tones recorded from DNA vibrations. Susan recorded these tones in 1988 with the help of Dr. David Diemer, at that time a cell biologist at the Davis campus of the University of California. If any of you would like to chat while we are on the air, please go to Christiana-Anaya, that's Christiana-Anaya, at blogtalkradio.com. Today, my guest is a local area resident who is using her love of labyrinth pilgrimages to satisfy her undergraduate degree requirements at Merrill Hurst University here in Portland, Oregon. Her name is Crystal Dawn Walker. Thank you, Crystal Dawn, for taking time out during this very crazy, busy holiday season to join me today. Welcome to Labyrinths in the News.
Good morning, Christiana. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm delighted to be here talking with you.
Well, thank you for this early, early time and being so patient, having to redo and reschedule. I really appreciate it. And let's just get right in there. You sent me a lot of information about yourself, your history, and the wonderful labyrinth events and things that you're doing in your life. And it would seem from reading your bio that walking a labyrinth at Jean Houston's Mystery School in 2003 set you on a different life path. Is this an accurate assumption?
Yes, it is. I had never walked a labyrinth before, nor had I seen one. And while observing very early in the morning, another Mystery School attendee walking it, I just stood there in amazement and rapture about this and was so excited and wanted to walk it myself. So that imprint has begun my labyrinth journey.
So tell us a little bit. So you had this experience, and then I'm assuming you walked it yourself during
right, and then I would go on labyrinth pilgrimages where I'd discover where labyrinths were, or I'd come upon them and walk them. And each time I just embraced the labyrinth, and so I've just followed that. Wherever the labyrinth leads me is my next step, quite literally.
And what came first? This is the chicken and the egg question. What came first, the deciding to become certified through Veritas, or deciding to go into a program at Merrill Hurst, and how did that all happen?
Well, actually, I was enrolled at Merrill Hurst, and I was coming upon my 50th birthday, and I wanted to do something special. And I ended up deciding to purchase a small canvas labyrinth. It's a 12-foot canvas labyrinth. And I invited 50 women to walk it as my croning ritual on my 50th birthday. So that began that piece. And then at Merrill Hurst, interdisciplinary degree program requires some sort of portfolio at the end, and I spent a little time thinking about what would be me and decided rather than putting something on the web or creating a binder, I decided a labyrinth would be a very good thing to use, and my department chair agreed, and so I've been compiling a portfolio of labyrinth things.
And so you were already you're
enrolled, yes, and,
right.
And then was just adding things. So with the Veriditas, that just was an extra piece that I became certified, and I did get credit for that.
And but you have already had a full life. You're a mother. You have three children. You have been an office administrator and all of this other. What had you go back to school at this point in your life to do this interdisciplinary studies program?
Well, I needed to get a degree. I never did it when I was younger. And as my oldest was preparing for college, I started helping him with all the work to do that. I said, you know, I can do this as well. So we both started college at the same time. However, he's graduated before me because obviously with working and other responsibilities, I wasn't able to travel as fast as he was through school.
And so Merrillhurst has been very supportive of you. Tell us a little bit about were you able when you do, because Veriditas is a certification program as well, and you have to go through certain processes.
Right.
Did this help your degree requirements?
Yeah, I had already been leading labyrinth walks before I did the Veriditas. This just gave me an extra piece, a certification piece. So at Merrillhurst, I'm president of the labyrinth group on campus called LABBY, which is Labyrinth Alliance Balances You. Where I work during the day, I'm the labyrinth diva as well as the office manager, and that's at St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church in Beaverton. I created several things there. Luncheon Labyrinths is a lunchtime pilgrimage tour that meets from about 11:45 to 2 o'clock the third Wednesday of the month, and that is just May through October. And then I've also created a second Saturday Supper and Sojourn Labyrinth Walk and Workshop, and that occurs three times during the year. We've got one upcoming in January. And then I also lead labyrinth walks at New Thought Center for Spiritual Living. And I've actually got that one coming up this Sunday. And they meet at the Kingstad Center in Beaverton. And that's an open walk from 9 a.m. To 1 p.m.
And what kind of labyrinths do you use for this?
Well, they vary. At Merrillhurst, we have a 24-foot canvas labyrinth that we use. Sometimes I bring my 12-foot canvas labyrinth and use it in classrooms. I get permission from my professors and incorporate it into the studies, depending on what I'm doing that term. We also have at Merrillhurst a outdoor painted labyrinth on the parking lot, which LABBY and various members of the Merrillhurst community as well as the Lake Oswego community helped paint, and that's available at any time for people to come and walk. And at the New Thought Center for Spiritual Living, I bring my 12-foot canvas labyrinth for that.
You said New Thought Spiritual Center?
It's New Thought Center for Spiritual Living, and they meet in Beaverton on Sundays at the Kingstad Center. And so that'll be this Sunday.
Okay. And what about at St. Bartholomew's? What is available there for people to walk?
Well, our canvas labyrinth is available at various times through the year to walk. I also created a birdseed labyrinth that we used for St. Francis Day. That was back in October. We did a labyrinth walk and pet blessing with that, where we put some doggy biscuits on top of the birdseed for our dogs that came to be blessed. And I have on the second Saturday, Supper and Sojourn, the next one coming up is actually Saturday, January 9th, and that will be at St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church in Beaverton. That starts at 5:30 with a supper, and then we move into a workshop and a contemplative labyrinth walk. And for January, I'll be focusing on the wisdom and illumination of Hildegard of Bingen, Mary Magdalene, and Teresa of Avila. That same day, though, earlier in the morning, I will be out at Merrillhurst, so I've got two events on the same day, leading a We Are One workshop and labyrinth walk with some activities creating labyrinths.
And so what you have a lot going on. What do you just enjoy doing all different types of walks, or is there a specific focus that you are intent on, or what is it? Because I know you love to do the pilgrimages too, and you have one coming up next fall.
Correct.
But in terms of the local community, is it just explain a little bit of how you come up with your ideas and what is the impetus for these ideas?
Each one is a little different, and so I come up with ideas of what I'd like to do, what the theme is, and then I create rituals and opening ceremonies and design all different kinds of things. Like for one of my classes out at Merrillhurst, it was a Mary Magdalene class, and for my final project, I led a labyrinth walk. During that same term, I was also studying hand drumming, and what I did was I created three rhythms to use for the labyrinth walk for the people not only from my class that were there, but we opened it up to anyone else who wanted to come. So as I'm deciding what I want to do for each of these things, like the second Saturday supper and sojourn was actually an offshoot from the lunch and labyrinths, because that one's during the lunch hour. Not everyone can come at that time. So I thought of creating something in the evening and having a fellowship time before the walk and a workshop. And it's worked well. We did one earlier November, where it was on grief. I did a grief workshop. And I used heart stones from one of the labyrinth walks that we attended through Lunch and Labyrinths earlier in the year. We went to Peace House, and they have some clay heart stones that they sell, and I purchased them, and we used them for that. I also used them for when we were painting the outdoor labyrinth at Merrillhurst, and the stones are heart-shaped. They're glazed with different textures and colors, and that was just a vehicle for people to kind of enter into however I was using that experience. And so for the painting of the labyrinth at Merrillhurst University, it was a blessing. You know, what does this stone signify for you? And then when I was leading the workshop for grief, was, you know, what comes up for you? What does the color say? What is the texture? So it can be, I use a variety of different themes and prompts for people during the labyrinth walks, and I just love creating things, so each one's a little bit different.
And do you encourage people to journal and write about their experiences, and do you share in the group afterward, or how does that work?
Yes, I do. I often have journaling prompts for people. Sometimes I have paper, as in the grief workshop, I provided them with a notebook that they could journal in their experiences then as well as ongoing. And then always there is a time of debriefing after a labyrinth walk, and those that wish to share may, and it's always a rich time.
I'm going to go back a little bit to the Mary Magdalene talk that you said you gave, especially this time of the year with the whole religious theme at this time of the year and the solstice and bringing in the light and the whole journey to Jerusalem, religious theme in Christianity. How does Mary Magdalene fit in with the labyrinth?
Well, in a sense, I just combined that. For when I was doing the class, I needed a project, and I'm known on campus for using labyrinths as part of my projects or having it available for my classmates to walk. And then in January, when I'm leading the Second Saturday Supper and Sojourn, we were looking for women that had wisdom, and I chose to bring in the three that I have been studying recently. And so that's how Mary Magdalene kind of fits in. There's not anything that I've read yet that says she walked a labyrinth or that there was a labyrinth at her time in Israel that she would have known about or walked or known what it was. So it's just my bringing that piece in.
But this is you're talking about metaphorically, really, more that of her life and her the energy. And what was who were the other women?
Saint Teresa and Teresa of Avila. So it's using their wisdom, illumination, and what that means to each person as part of the labyrinth walk, because none of those three women actually walked on a labyrinth or created labyrinths that we know of.
Mm-hmm. But it's their lives and their influence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so talk now a little. Tell us a little about this tour of nine labyrinths in France and Italy. You had already gone on a pilgrimage, or you have in the past, to Italy.
Yeah, 2 years ago I went to Italy and toured many, many cities and found labyrinths. And I was actually doing a independent travel study, in which I received credit for that at Merrillhurst as well. And then while I was touring, I was thinking this would be really fun to bring some people to view these. And so I proposed this as a senior project at Merrillhurst and was approved. So I created a nine-labyrinth, nine-day tour. We're actually adding charts to this, which I didn't tour last time. It's designed as an adult pilgrimage educational tour, and we will be spending all day at Chartres, and then the other labyrinths will be touring the cities and spending about 2 hours at each labyrinth, and I've created rituals, opening rituals, closing rituals, journaling activities. I'm actually making a journal that people will be able to keep, where there's information about each labyrinth on the left side of the page, and on the right side of the page is free journal space. We'll be traveling right into Paris, so anyone from anywhere can fly out of any airport and meet us in Paris to begin the tour. There's actually a labyrinth, or what they call a labyrinth, at Jardin des Plantes in Paris. I've seen a picture of it. It's a spiral, but it's not a maze, although it has high walls to it. We'll also go to Chartres, and then in Italy we'll be traveling to Ravenna, Lucca, in Pompeii. There's several labyrinth graffitis, Positano, and in Rome, Castel Sant'Angelo and the Palatine. And so this tour is meant as a way for people to experience different sizes and shapes of labyrinths, as well as enter into the mystery of each one and spend time in meditation and contemplation as they walk.
Are you now, so some of these labyrinths are not walkable, some of them are on walls? And
correct. So some of them will be able to walk, some of them, like in Lucca, is a finger labyrinth, and in Pompeii, they're graffiti. And then the one at Palatine Hill in Rome, I'm not certain whether we can walk that or not. We can view it, but whether they're doing any excavation, you know, maybe at that time. In any case, I have still prepared activities for opening rituals and for journaling. So there will be this time of spaciousness for people while on the tour.
How many people do you have on the tour so far?
I have close to 10. There's a few spaces left, and if anyone's interested, the way to find out more information about that is to go on to the St. Bartholomew's website, and that is www.stbarts.org. saintbartsbarts.net, and that's saintbarts.net. You can also call me at 503-644-3468 or email me at saintbarts@spiritone.com, and that's again saintbarts at spiritone, spiritone.com.
And tell us a little bit about creating this. I mean, this is not the best time economically to be doing this kind of thing. I mean, people are finding, you know, it's very tough right now with the economy. And did you do this all by yourself? How did you work all the travel arrangements out and all the tour, that part of it?
Right. I organized it through Passports, and they are an educational group tour company that's been around for several decades. And they were able to take my parameters of wanting to spend specific time at each labyrinth, as well as adding in some exciting sightseeing touring as well, and then work out the accommodations and the ground travel as well as the air travel. So there's also a number for people to call and ask questions at Passports as well, and that's an 800 number, 800-332-7277. And so they've worked out that piece, but it is a lot of work to try to organize this and promote this tour. And I'm earning my credits for this one, believe me.
And will, so if they call that Passports number, can they get help doing the, I mean, for instance, if they're coming from the Pacific Northwest and have to fly to Paris, I'm assuming they're going to have to stop in New York. I don't know if there's direct flights.
Yeah,
but
I don't know that piece yet. Since the airlines change things quite often, Passports said we really won't know until probably about a couple weeks before exactly what the flight direction is going to be. Currently, we're leaving out of Portland, and anyone who can get to Portland can leave as a group that way. But I also set up the tour that no matter where you are in the world, you can leave from an airport that's near you, and Passports will work that out to have you meet us in Paris at the time we're arriving.
And I'm sure that this is the whole piece of this is the advertising. Have you advertised, broadcast this through the Labyrinth Society or other? I mean, or is everybody coming pretty much from local Pacific Northwest area?
No, I've advertised it pretty broadly, both on the web and through email, as well as snail mail, and getting on people's email group lists. When I send it to someone, I ask them if they know anyone who might be interested, if they're not, and to sort of get it through the network that way.
So and where, you know, of the 10 people, where are they? Is it, what's the demographic?
Currently, they're fairly local. I do have some interest from people that are on the East Coast as well as from South America that are contacting me. They haven't registered yet that I'm aware of. So there is interest that's getting farther away than just the Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it would seem to me that in this economy, you would have to go further afield than what's the projected group size? How many people would you like?
I can take 15 on this tour, so there's just a few spaces left.
And everybody is going to be rooming with other people, or
it's double occupancy. So and you can pay for a single supplement if you wish. So I do have a few people doing single supplements, and I have several that are doing double. And you can let me know if you're needing a roommate, and then I can help hook you up with people.
And once you start, are you doing this all by yourself on a daily basis, or are you going to have help over there?
Well, with the passport set up, which is why I did this, there's a courier that meets us in Paris and travels all the way through the tour, same courier, until she or he puts us on the plane in Rome to head home. I'm leading the labyrinth pieces, and then the courier is negotiating all of the, you know, getting us from here to there. And the package price includes airfare, the hotel, breakfast, all of the ground travel, the courier, and entrance fees.
And so people are responsible for lunch and dinner.
Correct.
So, do you speak French and Italian?
I'm learning Italian. I don't speak French. We'll be in France for just 2 days and then heading out. So there is a deposit of $495 to register for the tour, and then final payment is not due until May 14th of 2010. And then the tour leaves September 1st, 2010. And goes for 9 months.
September 1st. Okay. So in Chartres, are you going to be there on a day when the labyrinth is open to be walked?
Of course. Yes. We're there on a Friday, and right after breakfast in Paris, we'll catch the train and head to Chartres, and we are there all day. We'll have dinner in Chartres and then continue on with the rest of the tour. So people can travel around the city if they wish. They can walk around the cathedral, as well as do the labyrinth walk that I've planned, and then have free time.
But this is, the labyrinth walk is open to the general public as well. Are you going to try to do something else on it while other people are walking around? And I mean, because this is a UNESCO World Site, so people are.
Right. Our group, I'll have to see when we arrive and I'm ready to do our opening ritual, whether I can actually do that on top of the labyrinth or just do it off to the side, and then our labyrinth walk will be just like everyone else, just pilgrims on the path. And then we'll meet up afterwards and do a debriefing, maybe off sides. It depends on how many people are there at the time and whether those people want to participate in what we're doing too. I'm open to however things work out.
And some of these, are you going to have musical accompaniment on some, not necessarily at Chartres, but any other time during your, have you arranged anything like that?
I haven't arranged any musical accompaniment, mainly because I'm not entirely sure exactly what time we'll be at each labyrinth, mm-hmm. and to try to coordinate that, because we'll be traveling and doing a variety of different things, and that may not be known until the day of. I will, however, have my iPod with me and speakers, so I can improvise.
Yeah, that's why not? Sure.
Yeah.
I was expecting you to say that you're going to bring one of your drums or hand drums with you.
Well, you know, there's things I need in my suitcase, and the hand drum's fairly large, maybe not. But I will have chimes with me that people can use, and I'll be using them as opening and closing parts of the ceremony.
Have you thought about, do you get a bio of about each person who is going on the trip with you? Are they active? Are these all these people active labyrinth people, or are they some of these neophytes?
No, pretty much they're all active people. And once I get the tour solid with those 15, then I'll be gathering information and having conversations with everyone and planning and having everyone on board with all the other details that occur. Right now, we're just in the phase of gathering people and getting it going.
Well, tell me a little bit about, so you've walked a lot of different kinds of labyrinths. What are your favorites, or do you have a favorite?
Well, the Birdseed Labyrinth is a favorite of mine. I also like the Sand Labyrinth. I'll go to the beach and create a labyrinth and walk it. And I'm looking forward to this winter and creating a snow labyrinth. I've not done that before. So my things are I like to be a pilgrim and travel to different labyrinths, and I like to create different ones. The We Are One workshop will be doing a bean labyrinth, which I haven't done before either, a dried bean. And then also one of the events that's coming up in May, on May 1st, that's World Labyrinth Day, the Labby group on the Merrillhurst University campus and Labyrinth Network Northwest are collaborating to create a day where we're having temporary labyrinths built on the Merrillhurst campus, on the outdoor labyrinths on the lawn. So if anyone's interested in participating in that as far as being one of the builders and creators, contact me. Or go on the Labyrinth Let Work Northwest website and let someone know there that you're interested in participating.
Okay. And are they going to allow painted labyrinths on the lawn, or is this all has to be...
It needs to be things that are temporary, and so painting, no.
Okay. And do you do mostly the classical ones, or have you created temporary shark style or Santa Rosa or any of those kinds?
Well, the painted one we have on the Merrillhurst campus is on a parking lot, and that one is a medieval meander, so it's kind of a petite shark. For the World Labyrinth Day event, it can be anything. And we're open to whatever people would like to do. Registration will be upcoming for that, as far as the people who are interested in participating. And we're talking about giving a prize to the one that's voted best.
And, okay, so you were at the 2009 Labyrinth Society gathering.
Yes.
You're a member of the Labyrinth Society, and...
Mm-hmm.
And what was the experience like for you?
Well, for me, it was like Disneyland for labyrinth lovers. I enjoyed walking all of the labyrinths. We had three outdoor ones. You actually created one outdoors. And meeting with the people. It was just wonderful to be with people who speak my language and have my passion.
And did you do a workshop there? Did you give a workshop there?
I did several of the workshops there. I did one on grief, which is what gave me the idea to incorporate some of those ideas into the workshop that I led. You led one as well.
Yeah.
I attended one on research, and at that time I was also working on a project or a paper where I was doing research myself and had several of the Labyrinth Gathering attendees fill out a questionnaire, and I compiled that, and just it was information about how they use the labyrinth and what it means to them. And put that.
Oh, in. That's right. I did one for you. I think
mm-hmm.
That's right. I remember doing that. So what are your plans now? With what are you going to do with your degree, and what direction do you see yourself going in?
As I've been walking the path, I've learned to just keep walking and as things open up. And so this labyrinth tour of France and Italy is one of the things that while I was walking a labyrinth, the idea came. So I'm not sure exactly where I'll be and what I'll be doing. I just know that as I contemplate and as I walk, the labyrinth speaks to me and I'm directed in different ways. So, like starting the labyrinth group on the Merrillhurst campus was one of the things that came up. I was attending a Labyrinth Network Northwest event, and discussions there prompted me to realize, oh, I could be doing this. And they just, I know that, I don't know where I'll be, but I know I'll be doing something with labyrinths.
And well, you said earlier that you felt that you had to get a degree. Obviously, when you thought this, that was before the labyrinth
mm-hmm.
piece came into. Mm-hmm. So when you had decided you needed a degree, is the purpose for that changed because of the labyrinths and the work that you've been doing with the labyrinth?
Since I'm an interdisciplinary studies student, I had originally set up my program to include business, communication, and women's studies. And then as the labyrinth came in more and more, I added a fourth component that's titled spiritual psychology. So I will have some sort of a business, I suppose, or way that I'm incorporating all of those pieces as far as empowering women, as far as using the labyrinth as tools and leading pilgrimages. The offshoot for this Nine Labyrinth tour came from the Luncheon Labyrinth. So, you know, the local pilgrimage tour is just incorporating lunch, where the 9-day Nine Labyrinth tour, France and Italy, not incorporates lunch, but it's breakfast and dinner and overnight and sightseeing as well. So I just, I allow the path to lead me where I'm needing to go. And so far, the journey's been fabulous.
And has this included your children as well? Have they walked with you, or?
Oh yes, and they know that when we're wherever we are, it's just so interesting how a labyrinth that I didn't know existed would come up, and they walk it with me, and they just know when I see something and say, "Oh, I think that's a labyrinth," which I did in Oakland. We were visiting family there, and there's a park, and I was walking along, and I looked ahead and said, "Oh, I think that's a labyrinth," and sure enough, there was one there. So we all take time out and walk.
And what has it been like walking with your children on this?
Well, my oldest son, or sorry, my middle son, traveled with me to Italy 2 years ago, and we walked all of the labyrinths there. And it's fun seeing your children move into a contemplative and meditative space. And my daughter will be traveling on this tour with me, this upcoming one, in September. So it's a nice bonding time with them.
Well, this has been a wonderful chance to talk to you, and we have a little bit of time remaining. Is there anything else you want to let people know about any future Labyrinth events or anything else that you're doing with Labyrinths at this point? Or?
Well, the Lunch and Labyrinth tours will be starting up in May, and that'll be May 19th, which is a Wednesday. And by contacting me on either of those phone numbers or email or web addresses, and also looking as we get closer, because I am just beginning the process of scheduling what labyrinths will be where and when. So right now I don't have a set schedule. I know we'll be traveling to two labyrinths in the Murray Hill area during the May through October schedule. I also plan to take people up to OHSU and possibly out to St. Luke's and Gresham. I know the Grotto is trying to create a labyrinth, and so we may tour there, and Kaiser Sunnyside. So I have.
So when you do,
go ahead.
Do you have people meet at one location, and then everybody goes by car to the different locations, or how does that work?
There are two ways that people can do it. They can meet us at 11:45 at St. Bartholomew's Episcopal Church in Beaverton, and we carpool, or they can meet us at the location if that's more convenient for them. Generally, we arrive around noon to 12:15, roughly, depending on the labyrinth, and each time I'll state exactly what time we're anticipated to arrive, because traveling from Beaverton, sometimes it can be a half hour to travel to different labyrinths. And then we meet with the person representative from that labyrinth. It can be the one who built it or the one who oversees it, and we get the history about that labyrinth. And then there's a labyrinth walk, and people are encouraged to bring their own brown bag lunch, and we sit and, again, share a meal together. And then we have a debriefing time and then head back. So generally, the labyrinth walk for those can be anywhere from a half an hour to an hour activity, and then the rest of the time is traveling or having lunch and debriefing.
And now with everybody that you have met during this time and walked your labyrinths and been a part of your events, do you stay in contact with everyone, and do you see repeat walkers fairly regularly?
Yes and no, because I'm in several different avenues where I'm at St. Bartholomew's and I'm out at Merrillhurst, and then I'm doing things at the Living Enrichment, or I'm sorry, the New Thought Center for Spiritual Living. So I see the same groups tending to be at each of those locations, and then wherever I'm at outside of that community, people can ask me to lead labyrinth walks anywhere, and I can come and do that for them. So in some cases, I see the same people, but not in all of my venues is there the same person.
And what's the response to can you say one thing that is a Ariadne's thread in terms of people's response to love walking the labyrinth and to also to the events that you've created? Is there a thread there?
I would say enrichment, if I had to pick one word, that it's been an enriching experience for each person, no matter whether I've led a walk somewhere and new people have embraced the labyrinth, as well as people who have walked it many, many times before. It's enriching each time. People get something out of the labyrinth walk, as I did for that very first time that I walked a labyrinth, and not knowing what it was or what I'd experienced while I was on that path. So it enables people to kind of reach deep and connect with a part of themselves that they may not have been aware was there, and provides information so that they can continue on their journey.
And this is something that is very personally satisfying for you, I'm assuming, because you keep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as Lauren Artress says, not every time you walk the labyrinth are you Shazammed. So sometimes I walk it and I just am walking it. That I feel good, but it's not a deep soul riveting experience. And then there's other times where I do get Shazammed. Wow, that was amazing. So I just know that it's important for me to keep walking. There's a energy that I get from it, and a satisfaction, and in some ways a healing.
Well, thank you. We're out of time now, Crystal Dawn. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Christiana. I've appreciated this time.
Well, it is my intention to enlighten labyrinth neophytes and support labyrinth veterans like yourself with guests like you who provided depth of information and personal experience not available through other sources. So thank you again, and many, many blessings on your path. Everybody, please pay attention to everything she's doing, because it's wonderful, and we should be very supportive of Crystal Dawn and all these wonderful activities that she's and pilgrimage that she's created.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful holiday season.
You too. Thank you again.
You've been listening to Labyrinth in the News in the Life category on blogtalkradio.com with your host, Christiana. Please join me next Monday, the winter solstice, December 21st, when my guest will be Ansula Press, the creator of the Janessa Labyrinth, which was a huge hit at this year's Labyrinth Society Convention in Oregon. Join us as we discuss her wonderful design and her latest labyrinth ventures. Have a blessed week in La Cache.